dbkmediaservices.com.
Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, Derek Webb, and Bruce Knox.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 159 of SVC Sports Talk. I am one of the three hosts we have this year in the fall here, and my name is Bruce Knox. Right across from me, the soothsayer of SVC Sports, the man who lives and breathes SVC Sports, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are we this evening?
Bruce, doing really well. Excited to have you back. I know we've been together all the way into our sixth year here together when we started this, and it's exciting to be back. I know we're going to have a new sidekick here that I'll introduce just a second. I do want to say a few things here in opening. One, out to my brother Matt. A lot of people know in the off season. My brother Matt had some health issues, and we ended up finding out it was a cancer called T-cell lymphoma. Really optimistic outlook. Matt's in really good spirits. And, you know, obviously Matt knows that the family and I love him and support him. But the reason I bring it up on the show, guys, is it's amazing to see the SVC support that we're getting from people all over the place. And, you know, it's just something that I really love about the community, and I really love about our area. It's just, you know, I've always said it's so neat in this conference, because we've always been close enough to kind of hate each other in a sports sense. But when it comes time to rally together in certain things, it's just been a lot of support. And I know I speak for Matt when I say that we really appreciate that. So, well, Bruce, as I said, in terms of getting into season six here, we invited a new guy into the SVC Sports Zone studio. And speaking of supporting SVC, he certainly does it as well as anybody, and that's Derek Webb of the Chillicothe Gazette. And, you know, Derek, as I welcome you to the show, I guess I had a question for you. As I started to think about approaching you about doing this, you know, obviously we know each other as kind of coach reporter, and the more we work together here, we've started to become more and more friends. And I guess my question to you, from a show standpoint, is what do you think we can accomplish by coming together to do this show? You know, not just as two sports buddies, but, you know, a person who does website, works in the Gazette, obviously has a lot of the same things in common.
Well, I mean, I think first and foremost, we can get a lot of different kids recognition, which is what I'm all about. That's a big part of my job. That's what I like doing. That's probably my favorite part of my job. And, you know, if we differ in opinions, that just means somebody else gets their names mentioned. But I think we can do that. I think we can, really give listeners something to look forward to each week as well.
Yeah, and I tell you what, some more off-season news, and I want to give a shout-out to Crown Hill Golf Club. We'll have them sponsor our off-season news here. As always, they've been so good to the website, one of the fastest-growing golf courses in our area. It's located up off U.S. Route 22 West. That's there in Williamsport. Give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. And, you know, Derek, this is something that kind of hits with us. Ironically, it was your report that first made me aware of this. I believe you were trying to get a hold of me maybe for a comment that day, and we were unable to get connected. I ended up reading about Mike Smith, and I had written an article on the website as well, and I appreciate a lot of the kind words and feedback from that. But obviously, hate to start a show. Mike Smith not going to be with KKJ this year. And, you know, Derek, I know I speak for all of us when it's just going to kind of be weird to have an SVC sports season unfold and not hear that voice. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no, I guess, more the voice of the SVC. I saw him at last night's volleyball preview, and he was announcing all the kids there, and just still seemed kind of normal, like I was sitting in my living room with my radio on, and Adina was playing at the convo or something. So, but yeah, we're definitely going to miss him around here.
Well, I just wanted to give a couple shout outs there to get started, Bruce. I appreciate that opportunity, and I'm excited to get going. I feel like we have a great show. So, you know, Bruce, I'll kick it back to you there. And if you're ready to go, let's get it going.
All right, fans, stay with us. In the spirit of the Olympics, we start by discussing what one of USA's most dominant teams has in common with the best programs in the SVC. Well, our first topic is a topic that's taken from a group of multiple...
Well, Bruce, I'll interrupt you real quick, because with Jeremy no longer in the studio, I think you should know that Derek has great sense of music.
Oh, does he?
With some of his posts, I've seen this. Yeah, Derek's way cooler than I am. So, yeah, Derek, Bruce will be happy to know that, so he'd get a little help with our bump music there, because I can really bore the audience to death. I just thought I'd throw that in there. Sorry, Bruce.
Well, that's quite all right. I appreciate that, Derek. And so I'll expect to maybe showcase some song or something that you can give us, particularly since you're younger than either Shane or myself. I think that maybe you can add not even just sports depth, but musical depth as well. So,
well, that's the thing. I'm young, but my era is the 80s. So if you like hair bands, Guns N' Roses, Aerosmith, then we're going to be good to go.
We have at least one listener out there that really loves hair bands, that being Chris Eldridge from Southeastern. So you'll fit right in, believe me. And my era is much later than that. So we will work that in. But as I was saying, anyway, in the spirit of the Olympics, let's see here. Wait a minute. Oh, I know what I was saying. Our first topic is taken from a group of multiple emails and one really interesting conversation out at the fair last week. So, Shane, I want to ask you, they've all talked about the amazing run of Adena volleyball, but think that perhaps some of the secondary sports have been overshadowed. And they wanted to know, how incredible is it that what Unioto's golf program and Unioto's boys cross country program have been able to do, because they're really premier.
They really are, Bruce. And it seems like a lot of these topics that come in and they all kind of go at the same angle. And I just thought it'd be a neat way to start the show. Obviously, Adena volleyball has been well documented, and you know, maybe we look at that as the more major female sport in the fall. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
A lot of times with the secondary sports is a lot of times what the fans will call it. I hate to use that term because I love all sports. But it's – you know, I get it. I mean, when I look, I guess what's neat about this, guys, is the fact that you see it in all different programs, all different sports. You mm-hmm. see it in big schools. You see it in small schools. You see it on the girls' side. You see it on the boys' side. And you always look for these similarities. A lot of times you'll see it with coaching longevity. You know, names like Laura Smith, Matt, and Coach Paxton, Coach Drummond. You see all of these names. But I guess as I see all these different things, it got me thinking, what is the common thread? And for me, it becomes the competition within. You know, people listen to the show throughout the last couple of years might hear me say this about Unioto boys basketball, Paint Valley football at a small school. I know this works for them. But it's that competition within, and it got me thinking here, what better sports analogy time to use than the Olympics right now with people watching? And our U.S. women's gymnastics team is such a popular thing for people to look at. And I think this really shows the point well. You know, There's two or three girls that didn't even get to compete in the all-around championship because they couldn't even beat their own teammates. there was two or three girls that didn't even make the Olympic team. If you followed it going back to the Olympic trials and so forth, they're probably top 5-6 gymnasts in the world when it comes to all-around competition, and they didn't even go to the Olympics because they couldn't qualify for their own team. And it got me thinking back to my high school days. I played for Coach Drummond. That gives you an idea how long he's been doing this. And, you know, I was a member of Unioto when the league first became a sport there in the fall of 93. That would have been the seniors of 94, my junior year. And I can remember. I mean, I specifically remember how nervous I was, not in matches, but how nervous I was just qualifying for my spot. It was far more stressful competing within my own team, just trying to earn a starting spot, than it was in a match situation. And I think that's what happens in a lot of these things. It's the numbers. It's the culture. That, you know, you'll constantly see maybe a junior or senior waiting their turn. And that culture that you see in the Uniota boys program, they mentioned cross country, for example. You know, Derek, I know the result came in the other day here. The girls cross country team just had a great win up there in the OHSA invite. So, I mean, I guess I certainly don't want to cheat you out of an opportunity to comment on that, Derek. But at the same time, I wondered if you run into some pressure criticism in terms of sometimes over covering these elite teams, because I know sometimes I'll get it on the website of, you know, why don't you talk about Edina volleyball a little bit more? And I'm thinking, well, if you guys win 23 championships, I'll talk about you a lot as well. You know, I mean, it's one of those things.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult. So I certainly don't want to cheat you the opportunity to look at these elite programs, but I also wondered from a media standpoint if you run into some of those similar criticisms.
I mean, you know, to answer your question, absolutely. As you said, you know, you cover Edina volleyball, Paint Valley, Zane Trace football last year. I think we covered Zane Trace. You know, they were 12-1 out of the 13 games. We were present at 10 of them.
Sure.
So, you know, and you get a team like Huntington that was, you know, a little bit down last year, and they're wondering, well, where are you guys at for us? So I get emails and calls, and, you know, a lot of the times, maybe not every day, but probably every week, especially during fall and spring sports season, those are the busiest for us. And, you know, when as far as, you know, handling that, you just kind of tell them, kind of like you said, hey, you know, I know we had this when the Uniota's basketball team was on that record streak of SVC wins and regular season wins, really. You know, we'd had other teams say, hey, well, you know, we're tired of reading about Uniota. And I said, well, that's, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but they've won over 50, you know, consecutive games. They deserve that coverage. They've earned that right to, you know, to have their athletes on the cover of the Gazette every day. So, you know, I think that, and it would be the same with any SVC team, with Chillicothe or whoever it may be. If you're winning 50 games in a row, we're probably going to cover you a lot. So, plus, hey, they're a lot of fun to watch, and so is this cross country team now, and the golf program as well. So.
Well, and it is. And you know, Bruce and I have talked in the past, you know, Bruce being from Vinton County, where my brother coaches basketball and so forth. And obviously they have just the one school. How does Chillicothe influence your coverage of the SVC? You brought them up. I just thought that was a great follow-up question for me there. You know, obviously I do what I do. I'm 100% SVC 100% of the time. How does Chillicothe, Waverly, Greenfield, any of these other schools you're trying to do impact your selections?
Well, it's funny because I graduated from Chillicothe in 2009. So when I'm not at Chillicothe, I get it from them because they're like, "Hey, you're an alum." But you know, when I came into this beat, I knew how important the Scioto Valley Conference was to this entire area. You know, now usually on a football Friday, if Chillicothe is at home, we make sure somebody's there because you know it is. As a lot of the Cavalier fans want to remind me, that called the Chillicothe Gazette. you know, as far as the SVC goes, I love covering it. And I, like I said, I was a Cavalier. I graduated there and I'm a proud alum. But at the same time, there's no atmosphere like the SVC. And you kind of mentioned that earlier as, you know, you all can grow to hate each other, but you also love each other at the same time and support each other.
Right.
You know, Chillicothe, when they're on the road, they're at East Clinton or Clinton Massey. St. Trace is at Uniota right down the, you know, the highway there on 207. So, you know, when Chillicothe does play a big game, obviously we're going to be there. That's when it helps to have stringers because, you know, a lot of times I pick the SVC over going to a Cavalier game.
Sure. Now, Bruce, I know the term that a lot of the fans use is that secondary sports. I know as you and I sorted out the inbox from the offseason here, there's a few more things about those on that list, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. As a matter of fact, when we all recognize that the SVC has a new sport this season in soccer. And so that's just going to add to the additional coverage responsibilities, I would think, of both SVC Sports Zone and the Chillicothe Gazette. And the fact that the SVC is honoring soccer as a league sport, I wondered, I guess, Derek, I'll put this question to you first. Does that impact how or how often you cover the sport with it being new?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, especially now you have an SVC championship game or, you know, some say Unyota or Zane Trace who are looking to be two of the stronger teams in the conference this year or projected to be. The season hasn't started yet. Yeah. But, you know, when they're playing to clinch a title, yeah, we're going to be there. And especially this year when it's the first ever, you know, the first in history. But and it puts a little bit more of a of an edge for both teams as well. They're playing for something different.
Yeah. And what do you see the next sport coming along, and is that going to happen sooner or later? Do you see anything out in your crystal ball there, another sport that's going to be similar to soccer and rise from the from down below?
Well, you know, I've heard some rumblings of actually Huntington's putting an archery program at Cramman, and that's very – it's becoming very popular around the state of Ohio. I know when we had – we have sports summit meetings of the Media Network of Central Ohio, and these guys are from Zanesville and Newark and Coshocton and you know, just across the state, and they've actually formed archery leagues in high school now. So now, having said that, if to answer your question, if it was my prediction and I had to bet my house on it, you know, it would probably be girls soccer. Actually, they've almost have as many teams as you need that 5-team limit to become a league sport. And I honestly, I would see that in the next 5 to 10 years. Soccer is very rapidly growing around here.
Shane, how about you? What sport's coming next?
Well, I think the first thing I would jump on his answer about the girls' soccer is, you know, Derek, I've even heard that in a lot of cases it was the girls supporting the boys' team, so to speak. And a lot of them could break apart and have, like you said, more of a girls' league. So I certainly would agree on an SVC standpoint that that's probably the case. But and by the way, I think I should throw in here that, you know, our lead sponsor, Triple Crown, probably deserves a lot of credit for that. If you look at the amount of kids that have played soccer in a lot of their programs over the last 5, 6, 7 years, obviously those kids are into the high school programs now, and the sport is really, really growing in the area. So I thought I'd give them a shout out. But I think it'll be interesting to see how these new sports impact. I know we started covering a new sport on the website this year, even though it's not an official sport, tennis. Sylvia Gray there at Uniota, an outstanding freshman from what I'm learning about their team to this point. As I said earlier, I was a member of the first golf team, and we were fortunate enough to win the league that year. And it's a situation where these kids that play soccer – That'll mean a lot to their program. You know, when you start putting the word championship next year, you know, champion to your next year name, that means a lot. The only other one I'll throw out there, and Derek, I don't know if you've heard this. I believe the OHSAA had started. Don't quote me on, like, you know, either field hockey or something here recently or whatever. But they started saying that the next sport at the Ohio level could be 8-man football in the spring. And we talked about this briefly last year. Remember, Bruce, on the spring show? Yeah. As a baseball coach, it scares me to death, first of all. I think it spreads athletes really thin. And I think anytime you put a new sport into play, that's, you know, I guess that's my concern, is you always want to get kids as many opportunities to play a sport as possible. But what's interesting is the impact that that has. Even, you know, if you're a bigger enrollment like Uniota Zane Trace, it starts to spread you out a little bit. Kind of lets the smaller school maybe close the gap a little bit, especially if those smaller schools don't fill teams. But if you're a smaller school, it certainly can start to spread the athletes then. And so that's something that I would definitely take a look at. But yeah, as far as the SVC goes, I think soccer has more than earned its right to be here. You know, we just welcomed wrestling earlier. So I think moving forward, I would agree that girls soccer is probably the closest, but statewide in the spring, that 8-man football is certainly something to keep an eye on.
Guys, at what point do you get to full saturation?
Well, I think we're almost there. Yeah. Honestly, I
for most schools,
keep in mind, you know, And I know I can see the emails coming in already. Yeah. Let's throw Uniota away for a second here, and I'm going to tick off my own school there. But the putting Uniota to the side for a second, maybe even Zane Trace to an extent. You know, you're dealing with 5-6 schools that the enrollment just becomes very, very difficult. It's a situation where I can remember when golf had first come in, there was a couple teams that didn't have it. Well, eventually the pressure got to be to have it. I wonder what will happen with like a Huntington or a Paint Valley or so forth with soccer as we move forward. And you're talking about two enrollments there that could really, really start to spread some athletes thin.
Yeah. Derek, you think we're getting there?
I mean, well, I think we're very close. As Shane said, you know, you've got Piketon just created their own team. They actually have their first actual contest tomorrow against Portsmouth West. But, after they create their team, the only two teams in a girls' soccer point that do not have teams are, as Shane mentioned, Huntington and Paint Valley. Everybody else, I'm sorry, in Edina, they have a boys team. It's a co-ed team. I think that if even one of those teams would be able to field a girls soccer team, I think the SBC almost has no choice but to make it a league sport.
Yep. Okay, that sounds good. Up next, we talk volleyball and try to figure out just how good the league is or isn't, and examine a league that has more questions than normal. Welcome back to episode 159 in what is becoming our sixth season of SBC Sports Talk. Bruce Knox, Shane Combs, Derek Webb along with you. And we're talking, in this case, volleyball. But first, I want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, C&K Athletic Equipment. They have always been the number one premier sports supplier for some of the local schools up north of our area, but they're doing the same kind of things for all the SVC schools. You can get accessories, fitness gear, headgear, all kinds of things, sports apparel for all of our SVC schools up there. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 12, and they are closed on Sunday. You can give them a call at 740-477-9828 and tell them that SVC Sports Zone sent you. Let's move on to volleyball, and we've got plenty of questions and discussions about the upcoming year. But first, the most intriguing question, Shane, that we had, and that is SVC volleyball really good or just good for Southern Ohio?
You know, I get this question a lot. It's actually not the first time I've had it given to me. Over the last couple of years, there seems to be some people in the area that are obviously really into this discussion and want to hear more about it. But I guess my stance is this. I can go both ways. I mean, if you're looking at SVC volleyball in the southeast corner of the state, you've heard me say, you know, south of Columbus, east of Cincinnati, you're talking about the SVC pretty much sets the standard when it comes to volleyball. Now, if SVC volleyball is going to go outside the area, yeah, maybe it's not quite as good as we make it out to be down here. But I think there's a couple things I would jump into the defense of the conference, and maybe this is my SVC bias. I think there's a lot of Division I and Division II schools in those areas. And let's face it, down here in this area, I believe unless Logan and Chillicothe float back and forth, we have no Division I schools in the Southeast District. Also, I think you get into a lot of the private-public debate here. As we get to the regional and state level, I understand that maybe our track record hasn't been, great. But at the same time, I think you'll run into a lot of teams that start with Saint or end in Catholic. I mean, and there's something to be said for that as well. So I guess it just depends on the way you look at it. You know, Derek, you cover well into the tournament. You mm-hmm. get a good sense of others. I mean, I know sometimes I can be pretty biased, but I can understand. I can at least understand where people will say that, especially if they watch a lot of volleyball in different parts of Ohio. Where you stand on that?
I can tell you this. I'm going to take Adina and a Laura Smith or Laura Smith led Adina team against anybody in Ohio. I think she's a volleyball genius, and she just creates so much talent there. But I think SVC volleyball really is that good, and that's not. Maybe it is me being a little biased, but just in covering them a lot and even covering them against different leagues that aren't in Southern Ohio, you can really tell that there's a difference. I talked to Jimmy Hutton last night at Southeastern, and Lori Dressback, who was helping him, used to be the head coach out Southeastern. Yes, she had told me last night they had traveled up north somewhere, and this is last year. And of course, Southeastern finished 9-13 last year. And the teams these guys played, they thought they were undefeated. They got swept, and they said, "Hey, you guys got to be undefeated. What's your record?" And Lori said, "Well, I looked at this lady, and I said, well, we're about 500." So I mean, and I think that tells you the story. I mean, a lot of other teams around Ohio, you know, when they see Adina or Unioto or you know, Southeastern, who's I think is going to be, you know, we'll get to that in a minute, but I think they're going to be dangerous this year. They're like, hey, these guys come from the Scioto Valley Conference. They know how to play, and they play against top-notch competition all year long.
Don't you think it's perspective sometimes? I mean, can't you always go find something or someone who's better? I mean, I was joking with someone the other night. I mean, if you have a high school kid that runs the 100 in 11 seconds, that means he's really fast. Well, I mean, if he goes and runs against Usain Bolt, he's probably not as fast. I mean, you're always going to be able to find some. I think actually the joke was, hey, I'm really fat, but if I would walk into a room with a bunch of sumo wrestlers, maybe I'd look skinny. I think that was the actual joke. But you see where I'm coming from there? I think you can always stretch out. I mean, goodness, it tells you how good the league is. And to me, you answer the question for yourself when you start having to go, you know, get in a car and drive 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours away to start to find where you consistently find teams better than the SVC.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I would totally agree with that. I mean, you know, I think that these teams, even in the SVC now, if you just for example, Huntington's non-conference schedule is absolutely great for that team when it comes to tournament time. And I think head coach Tina McGill does that on purpose. Now, they are playing Southern Ohio teams. They're playing Wheelersburg, Alexander. But those are top teams that, again, I would put them against a lot of teams in all of Ohio. Like you said, just don't get a lot of chances to see them against, you know, Tuscarora Central Catholic or, you know, whoever it may
all right,
be.
And I guess that's right. The only place I would disagree with you there is I do think the top half of our league especially has to start doing more than that. Now, I know Lori Coker, Laura Smith, some of those people have told me, and I understand this as a baseball coach myself, there's a lot of travel restrictions, you know, how far you can go away, how many times. So, yeah, I totally see where you're coming from there, and it would be a great opportunity for our league to be able to travel more and get those opportunities.
Well, guys, there's been so much feedback, questions, comments, conversations, and so forth about SVC volleyball. Let's take a few minutes and kind of dissect it a little, and we'll start with Mr. Webb. And I want to ask Derek to give us maybe a volleyball headline for 2016. What do you see?
Off the top of my head, you're going to make me write my headline right now.
Well, that's why we pay you the big bucks, son.
You know, that's a good point. No, they honestly, I think it's a I think parity is really central in this year. As we all know, in every sport last year around the SVC, a great senior class that went out this year. You know, I've had I think six of the eight coaches that I talked to for the volleyball preview that we had run said, you know, they're really excited and they think that this year's conference is going to be a very, very tight race. And so I would say, you know, parity-filled SVC.
Okay.
Well, I'll agree to a point there. I'll disagree with them a little bit. Obviously, you know, that's coming from the coaches. Who's to argue with them?
Yeah, very true.
But, I mean, to me, I just watched it for myself last night, too. Adina is a lot better than everybody else again. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. They really are. Now, is there a lot of parity throughout the league after that? Sure. Could Adina get beat on any given night? Sure, you're dealing with high school kids. But I'm telling you, if I look back to my preview article on the website that I finished up last night there, my headline was Beyond Adina's Normal Spot. on top possible SVC order almost looks odd. And I guess that's the part I'll agree with, Derek, is it is kind of a rebuild versus reload mentality. All these seniors that went away last year, what programs are able to reload? And which ones actually have to take a step back and maybe rebuild a little bit. And I think the difference goes back to our lead story at the beginning of the night, which is just depth and talent and some of the things that we're going to get to talk about here and some of Bruce's upcoming points.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, when you say that, when I said the senior class, you know, was a big one that has departed now, Adina graduated just one senior. Just in Rachel Foster, they bring everybody back. So that's a very good point on your end. They've got everybody back at the preview last night. They're just so fundamentally sound, and yes, they know how to play the game. They know the positions they need to be in. I mean, you know, although I will say they've got their work cut out for them in the SVC.
Okay. Speaking of that, which the most interesting part of the standings, I guess this almost goes into a prediction. Who's the champion and who may be the sleeper? Derek.
Well, Shane, if you want me to go first, yeah, obviously, yeah, I'm agreeing with Shane. I think Adina.
Okay.
I think they're the champion. The sleeper. I'm going to go with Piketon here. I think they've got two great outside hitters in Cammie Chandler and Jordan Morris. The Madison Conley girl played really well last night, and she knows the game as well. You know, I think Piketon's well coached, and I think they're a dark horse pick. Even over, you know, the Uniotas of the world. So if I had to pick a sleeper, I'm going with Piketon.
Shane?
I'll be shocked if Adina doesn't win the league. Obviously, Uniota's capable of beating Adina. I think there'll be some teams that push Uniota to a fourth or fifth set. I don't know if anyone else will beat Uniota. So I'll take Adina as my champion. I would probably go with Southeastern as a sleeper from a standpoint of Piketon, I think, has two really elite players, solid at setter. I think they're going to struggle passing the volleyball, and what's going to happen as a result of that, their setter, who is improved, is going to be running all over the place, and it's going to make it difficult for her to truly get Chandler and Morris some opportunities to take over the match. I guess you could probably say the same for my Southeastern pick. You know, Ella Skeens leads an incredible front line of about four or five net players. The long move from Adina to Southeastern is huge. But I think that, you know, Goble could go through a lot of those same situations with the passing issues at Southeastern. But I do like that Southeastern group to maybe – I think I said in the article last night that they were, what, 3-11 last year. I could certainly see them not quite flipping that around, but certainly winning more than they lose in the conference this year.
And you've talked about several individuals. Are there other players to watch for, Derek?
I absolutely think so. You know, and just watching the preview last night, you know, if you start with Uniota, yeah, and I think we all know that the players to watch at Adina, then the Putnams, the Bossarts, the Polars. But I, you know, there's a freshman libero that played for Uniota last night, and Hallie Pinkerton. And she's going to be big in their potential success if they are to have some. You know, I mentioned Chandler and Morris, obviously Ella Skeens. She's just, you know, she's amazing to watch in the least bit of words, and of course Ricky McGill at Huntington. So,
okay, Shane.
Yeah, I agree. You know what's funny here too, Derek? I certainly agree with every name you said there. We've talked volleyball on two or three topics, and you know who's kind of flying under the radar here is Zane Trace. You know, true, you're talking about one of the great volleyball coaches in Southern Ohio and Coach Coker, and she's got more back than you think. I think because they graduated the younger girl, such an elite athlete on a team, mm-hmm, let's face it, that was pretty good last year, but not real, real athletic. And I think that's the red flag that jumps out at people. But with the league maybe being a little bit inexperienced early on, I think Zane Trace is another team. And I thought there were several girls, you know, the Ward girl for them, very, very talented. Mm-hmm. The younger Unger, who's back, she went through some some, I believe it was more of an illness than an injury at the end of last year, correct?
Yes.
That, and she's back now. She's a very talented kid. So you're talking about a couple kids there on Zane Trace that I would throw out into the mix. And, you know, but I'll tell you, I enjoyed your piece on the setters the other day, Derek, in the paper. And it's hard not to really like Maddie Hepperts at Uniote. I mean, she's a really talented kid. Lainey Shea at Edina. I just think those two girls set their two teams apart in their balance. Obviously, you know, you talked about some of the passing issues. I think what sets Edina apart is their ability to just control the volleyball. You talk about how fundamentally they are. Carly Carroll would jump out at me as probably as good a passer. You know, what happens is, you know, a kid like a Goebel at Southeastern, she's running everywhere trying to play some of the passes, where in Lainey Shea, she has such great passing, she's able to look over the floor. And that'll be a big challenge for Uniota. I love what you said about the freshman, Holly Pinkerton, there, because I think that does bring something that maybe – I think it's almost fair to say cost Uniota a chance to be a serious contender last year was probably their passing.
Yeah, absolutely. I would totally agree with that. You can't set without a good pass. You can't attack the ball without a good pass either. So that's very and like I said in that piece that you mentioned, a lot of the times those setters and you know the kids who do pass and the liberos, even you mentioned Carly Carroll, they don't get the recognition as Devin Putnam, you know, Cammie Chandler, all those guys. And the paper the next day we're writing kills. I'm like, well, how did she get that? Well, Maddie Evers passed her the ball. That's how.
Well, I'll tell you, if I put you on the spot right now, would you still, with all the teams getting better, and we talked about graduation, at the end of the day, would you be shocked if any of the other six teams beat Uniota or Edina?
I would say, as you said, Edina, yes. I mean, their expectations have to be a gold ball. You know, I think just in the preview, and I know it's preseason, I know, you know, nobody showed everything they had, but you know, that has to be their expectation. And if they don't win the gold ball, it has to be a disappointment for them. But Uniota, I think, is very interesting. You know, even last year, they were pushed to the brink by Westfall. Piketon took them to four or five sets.
Southeastern, you know, took them to
Southeastern,
four or five.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I think Uniota's beatable. If they have an off night and somebody else has an on night, they're going to lose that night.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I think Uniota's, when they're on, they're really, really good. So they could challenge Edina on a given night. I guess my logic is this. Edina goes 14-0 last year. The league gets a lot weaker. They bring everybody back other than, you said, the one passer. And then I guess we should say they did lose DeLong. But I was impressed with Stark last night in the middle for Edina. I think she's going to come on. So I would just be shocked if Edina doesn't run the table, or at least, you know, win 13 of them and win the league.
Go ball or bust.
There you go.
Well, fans, sounds like an exciting time in volleyball, and we certainly did not forget about football. So up next, we start peeking ahead to the next 10 football Friday nights. Moving along, football Friday nights, Friday Night Lights coming up. We're going to move right back into football here on episode 159 of SVC Sports Talk. And let's just use the same format we just used for volleyball. So Derek gets to go first again. Derek, new guy on the block. We're going to abuse you for everything we can, mister. Now, what do you see as factors in this year's league race?
You know, I think there is a lot of factors in this league race. Obviously, you look at the defending champions and Zane Trace, and you know, they lost so many good kids on their defense, especially with the Truman Loves and the Pierce Mowries. And you know, I think that how they bounce back on defense is going to really play a big part in how they fare and whether they make a state playoffs run again. You know, I also think you got the freshman quarterback at Paint Valley and Bryce Newland. And then, of course, you got, as again, to me, and I Shane, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but to me, it's almost a two-horse race again, where Paint Valley, Zane Trace, and then, you know, the standings kind of get mixed up from the bottom after those top two teams. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of guys that think that they have a chance to challenge those guys. We'll see. I'm excited for football. Thank goodness it's here. I'm not sitting around the office twiddling my thumbs anymore. And, it's going to be fun.
It certainly does mirror volleyball a little bit, doesn't it? You have those two teams there at the top. You have a lot of other teams that are kind of trying to find their place in the league, mm-hmm. and seeing what kind of gap there is there. I guess for me, the factor in high school football, Bruce, always comes down to numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a situation where you get some of these teams, they get excited, they're ready to go. You know, a Huntington's improved, a Southeastern's trying to make an improvement, Python's always good at Dean. But what happens is you get a couple injuries. You get a discipline issue. And before you know it, 3-4 weeks into the season, now all of a sudden, those 6-7 skill kids you thought you had, now they're down to 3 or 4. And I guess the depth, especially up front, do you have to go both ways? A lot of times what happens with the Zane Traces of the world, you know, they have enough depth of athletes and a depth of size and speed to where they can kind of keep guys fresh. Paint Valley has that even at a small school, because you're talking about an amazing percentage of boys that play football at Paint Valley out of mm-hmm. the entire enrollment. So the ability to go both ways can sometimes wear on a kid. Or what you'll see is a special teams. You'll try to give some of your guys a break. How many times have you seen it where a special team's big play beat you? Mm-hmm. Those types of things. So to me, numbers become a really, really big thing. And when you're bringing some of these younger kids up, you know, a lot of coaches will talk to you about, for every freshman that plays a significant role, you know, you're going to get put in a position to get beat almost per freshman. I've heard coaches say that before. I don't know if that's totally true, but I certainly understand the logic. And I think the way you avoid playing freshmen is obviously having incredible program, having incredible depth to where you just kind of reload. And I think that's what you're going to see with the Zane Trace in the Paint Valley. It's not going to take you very many Friday nights to listen to the scoreboard show or to read Derek's work that night and next morning, or to look on the website and start to learn some of these new stars, because I think they're out there. But what happens is they're waiting their turn in some of these elite programs.
Well, let's talk about the team with the most interesting storyline to you. It doesn't necessarily have to be the first couple.
Well, I think it's going to be Paint Valley. Okay. With a freshman quarterback there at Bryce Newland, you know, they do have two good backs with Buster Trent and Drake Stanforth. But when you lose a kid like Anthony McFadden, I mean, and Shane can attest to this, and he was, you know, coaching him at shortstop there on the baseball team, it's just such a loss, not just physically, but mentally as well. And, you know, Bryce is a freshman. He's a big kid, and he's a physical kid. And I think he's going to be a great quarterback. But as Pete Holland said, you know, he's going to take his lumps. He's going to make freshman mistakes. We just have to work through those, you know, and try to win a ball game around those.
I think, let me comment on that first, and I'll go to my storyline. You know, knowing Bryce as well as I do and having him in class, first of all, you're talking about a first class young man. Absolutely. He's a big time character kid. But I think what people are missing at Paint Valley, it's so easy to see this incoming freshman class, and they are talented, but I think people are totally missing the boat on these upperclassmen at Paint Valley, because what's mm-hmm. happened is they've waited their turn behind a really good senior class last year. Names like Drake Stanforth, Jay Riley, kids up front like Ott and company, you know, there's a lot of kids that are really going to blossom in, and so I don't think the same type of pressure is going to be on a Newland to carry as much, say, as a McCloskey at a Huntington or something like that. To me, I think a storyline that jumps out in these first 3 weeks, Derek, is the SBC against the non-league. You go back and crunch some numbers. They've really struggled as a conference in these first 3 weeks, and sometimes that can really hurt them as a conference in terms mm-hmm. of playoff points and so forth. Paint Valley doesn't get hurt as much because they're a smaller school and they're going to be playing bigger schools throughout pretty much the entire year. But it's interesting to me to see this year how important the AD and the head coach and whoever's in charge of scheduling really works to put your program in some situations to be successful. I'll have to kind of wait and see, but it seems like there's a couple teams that maybe have a few more winnable games in the first 3 weeks of the season than maybe in years past. Before we move on, though, I thought it was worth share with the listeners here, Derek. You did a piece that I really enjoyed on Westfall, and I know when you and I talked off the air, you really thought Westfall. I know Westfall struggled a little bit by their standards, but man, it seems like as I talked to a couple of my buddies from Westfall up there and so forth, they're really excited about the hire. They've got a couple kids back, and maybe Westfall could end up being that sleeper team.
Well, they think they got the right guy. And after talking to Trent Olds up there at Westfall, who was the new coach, took over for Shane Patterson, I'd have to agree with him. He's a stand-up act. He's fun to talk to. He knows the game. It's kind of funny when you interview him, you know, especially face-to-face. He's shy and he doesn't know what to do. But once you get him opened up about football, he talks and he talks and he talks. And everything that comes out of his mouth is like, you know, you're sitting there shaking your head like, man, this guy, he gets it. He knows. Yeah. He was at a couple bigger schools in Cincinnati, studied under a couple great coaches. And, you know, Westfall is going to put in a spread offense this year I guess assumption of they're going to be up tempo, no huddle team is what Olds had told me. You know, that bodes well for Matt Jude because he's got a big arm and he's a dual threat at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and let's face it, they didn't lose last year because they couldn't score. A lot of times they just couldn't stop anybody.
Exactly. You know, really, and they lost Mason Peart, but again, as you kind of mentioned with Paint Valley, you know, they've got two running backs in John Lawson and Tyler Armentrout.
The Armentrout kid's nice, yeah.
And he was hiding behind the shadow of Peart. Mm-hmm. So if they can get – and I've also heard kind of like Uniota, they got some basketball kids as well. The Wyman kids is playing football again this year. Wow. Athletic, as all get out. If they can get him in space, he's gone. I do think Westfall could be dangerous, and I see all their kids on Twitter all the time, and you know, they're talking about, hey, don't sleep on us, and they've got a lot of confidence, and that's because of Trent Olds.
That's really intriguing to me. That's good stuff.
Well, we've mentioned several different players already, but are there other players that you're watching?
I mean, you know, I'm always every Friday night, and I write my 10 to comprehend each week, and mm-hmm. and. You know, so I guess my job is to watch a lot of players, but you know, I think that obviously, aside from the guys that we've already mentioned, and my big one is Elijah McCloskey at Huntington. But aside from those guys, Austin Harris is Zane Trace. We haven't mentioned his name yet, and you know, he's going to be expected to lead that Zane Trace team back to kind of the promised land. Carson Stouffer at Southeastern's a name to watch. That kid is Trent or. Evan Gallagher called him the little engine that could. and then, you know, in Piketon, Gabe Berkheimer over for Devin Brewster. Berkheimer is a very, very good athlete, played a lot of receiver last year. But when he did play at the quarterback position, he was very productive.
Well, I tell you what, you mentioned it just a second ago. I'm going to go over to Uniota. I had a chance to see them in the preseason about a week and a half ago, and the Edler kid's really, really impressive. You know, the experience he got last year. You know, I noticed last spring with him, Derek, in baseball, that, you know, as you coach against these kids and you watch them grow as competitors, there seemed to be a sense of a maturity and just a calmness where the game slows down for you. Mm-hmm. I noticed that in baseball with him last year, where he had a great spring, and it's really carried over to his quarterback play. Uniota has some kids out, the White kids back out. The Fisher kid's as good an athlete as there is in the league. I mean, he came back off a route when Edler was scrambling in that Bourne Union scrimmage and just about knocked a kid clean out on a block. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete if you've seen him on the basketball court. So, I really like. I'll be honest. I was surprised. I did not expect Uniota to be that athletic, that good. It sounds like they played well. So those are some of the kids. And then another name I'll throw out. I think I have the first name correct here because I have not seen Zane Trace.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Etheridge Games.
Yes.
He, I watched him grow up in junior high running the ball. And then last year, where Zane Trace's starters usually had their pads off by the middle of the third quarter, he would occasionally get some opportunity. And it's another example where, you know, you're waiting a turn, kind of like I said, Drake Stanforth of Paint Valley earlier. This Games kid is dynamic. I mean, he can really, really change a game. So I believe he would be a sophomore now. And I'm really, really interested to see what kind of increased role he has now that so many skill kids graduated. And you mentioned back with the Harris kids. So that's pretty dynamic in the backfield there still.
Absolutely. And another name, before we get to the next segment, you mentioned Uniota. How about Trey Ivey? He's got a lot of speed. And Edler, if he can get those weapons working well, Uniota could be a sleeper team if
really
they can
could.
Get that defense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good for Vinton County. We open against them next week. So we have that. Shane, let's move along to our hurry-up offense, if we will.
Yeah, that sounds great. I tell you what, let's have this brought to our listeners, Bruce, once again here by Crown Hill Golf Club. Always want to give them a couple shout-outs per show because I just appreciate what they do. You've heard me say they're as fast a growing golf course as there is in the area. Such great shape. I've been up two or three times. You can check them out on golfnow.com. You can also check out their website, crownhillgolfclub.com. If you're a golfer that likes to travel out and do some events and things, I would go on their website and take a look at subscribing to their email. They send out some great deals. So you could also give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. So, you know, Bruce, always one of our most popular segments is when we kind of pick up the pace a little bit here with it being the fall and football season. We'll go with the hurry up offense, even though it's got kind of the football name to it. Derek, it gives us an opportunity to talk anything fall sports in the SVC. Mm-hmm. So I guess, as Bruce said, we've been having you go first all night. So as Bruce gives us our topic here, I'll let you go first, give a quick little description to follow, and then I'll follow up, and we'll go through four of them here. So, Bruce, if you're ready to go, let's go to the hurry-up offense.
As a fan and or a member of the media, your favorite SVC fall sport is blank.
For me, it's football. I mean, you know, who doesn't love football? Friday nights are just a different element to covering a live event. The band's there, the popcorn, I like to eat. You know, hey, the football is king in Ohio, and I guess I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Well, I've always said I've grown up in the wrong state because I'm more of a basketball guy. But I tell you, in the fall, by far for me, it's volleyball. I love volleyball in this league. It's usually played at a really high level. That Tuesday-Thursday format gives you a lot of matchups throughout the week. And I look forward to some non-league play this week and then getting the league started the following week.
Out of all the league races in the SVC this fall, the most intriguing one to follow will be the blank.
I'm going to go with actually golf here. Uniota has won 7 straight SVC championships. I really think Piketon, Adina, when Southeastern is healthy, they're going to get a big, big push from Piketon. Hunter Henneberger, the golfer for Huntington, you know, has played against Piketon. He told me they're a state-level quality team, so I'm going to go with golf.
Well, I think I've got to go back to your first answer to the football field. I think Zane Trace Paint Valley is certainly intriguing, but, you know, what's interesting about football, it's just that one league round. You know, we saw it last year, head-to-head overtime game. I don't know if anyone else would be quite good enough to knock one of the top dogs off, but I think the football league is going to be intriguing in the standings there at the top.
Beyond some of the league's biggest stars, blank will be one of the biggest unsung heroes in boys sports this fall.
I'm going to go on to the soccer pitch, if you would. You know, Darby Pillow is a great athlete at Zane Trace, but Holden Johnson gets overshadowed a lot by Darby Pillow. Holden, I was at two games last year. He scored two hat tricks, so maybe I'm his lucky charm. I don't know. But that kid can play the game. And then, of course, as we said, with the boys SVC race for the first time this year, you know, the Pioneers are playing with a chip on their shoulders, and they think they're the best in the league. Holden Johnson is a big reason why.
Well, I'm going to continue to kind of follow you a question behind here, I think, because for me, Derek, it's Steven Zimmerman of Piketon Golf. I think, you know, Graham and Moore are going to catch a lot of the headlines, but let's face it, the reason Uniota wins and wins and wins and wins is because they've constantly been able to throw five and six golfers on the course, and any of the four on any night could score. For Piketon, he really gives them, I believe he finished fourth in the league individually last year with about a 39 average, never shot over 43. So you're talking about a rock solid kid, and it's going to be really pivotal, because I think that league race will come down to who can avoid Adina or Zane Trace jumping up on a given match and knocking them down to a three or four hole. That's what will beat you, in my opinion, and a kid like Zimmerman really solidifies that lineup.
Let's look at the same question for girls. Blank will be the unsung girl in SVC play.
I'm going to volleyball here, and you know, we've talked about Maddie Evers. We've talked about, I believe, Abby Weingartner from Uniota. But we haven't talked about Hannah Hall. Hannah Hall doesn't get a lot of recognition up there on the front line for the Shermans. You know, last year, 157 kills, 50 aces. You know, at the serving line and on the front lines, you know, Hall was, and she was up there in blocks as well. I think that she gets overlooked a lot, but she's a great player when the Shermans are really going to rely on to challenge Adina in a volleyball race.
Well, Derek, we weren't that far off here. I'm going to go with Hallie Pinkerton of Uniota, and here's the reason why. I mentioned Carly Carroll earlier and her ability to pass the volleyball. I think the passing is what really held Uniota back last year. It's not that they don't have capable athletes and passers. There was just a lack of consistency there. I know she's young. It's a lot of pressure, but I think she's a kid that that could really, really impact the SBC race in a big way if she's able to step up and fill a serious void for the Lady Sherman.
Good stuff there, Shane, in the hurry-up offense by the addition of Derek. He's all over the place, and that's good stuff.
Absolutely.
Good variety. Hey, we want to, before we move into the post-game comments and so forth, we want to mention CNK Athletic again. They are located up north of us in the SVC area, but they are doing a lot of good sports apparel for our teams and so forth. So you want to give them a call. You can reach them at 740-477-9828. And you can also find them on the web at www.cnkathleticequipment.com. So give them a look and see if they can't help you out with some of your sports apparel needs. And we appreciate them being a sponsor for our SVC Sports Talk once again. Shane, I wanted to remind everyone that's listening that we enjoy feedback, and they can get to us several different ways. Shane has two different Facebook profiles. One is SVC Sports, I'm sorry, let's see, svcsportszone.com, and then he has Shane Combs at svcsportszone.com. Those are the two Facebook. And then he can be reached on Twitter. His handle there is svcsportszone.com. And I want to mention that Derek is accessible also. He's a big Twitter user. I know that because I've been following him for a couple weeks now, and he's blowing up my feed, but that's good. And his handle is at DW1509, and then he can also be reached by email at dweb@chillicothegazette.com. And we really do appreciate Derek coming aboard, and there are other ways as well to get a hold of us. Of course, email to Shane is admin1@svcsportszone.com. And then if you would like to leave a voicemail message for us, you may do so in the DBK Media Services voicemail. That's 740-569-3254, and you can leave your message there. Well, Derek, we're about to put episode 159 in the can. What's your final thought on our opening show, and what can we expect to see in the Chillicothe Gazette in the upcoming sports week?
You know, my, I don't have a Woody Page final thought. You know, maybe next week I'll have one.
Okay.
But I do know that it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to this season. I'm looking forward to the rest of you know our get-togethers here, and you know it'll be a very an interesting, fun, you know, good time out on the soccer field, football field, volleyball court, wherever you can find me. So now. Addressing, you know, what's coming up in the Gazette this week. We've got Shane and Bruce, it's finally fall. I can tell that with the budget that I send out. you know, I'm a busy guy this week. So tomorrow, I mentioned earlier, I'll be in Piketon. They play Portsmouth West and open up their schedule there, the girls soccer team. And then we'll have a volleyball preview part two. And, you know, we'll also be at Southeastern for a North Adams. Shane, I don't know if this is okay to mention, but Brock Netter also helps us a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he'll
Sir Brock
Netter. Yeah, Sir Brock Netter, that's right. he'll be with Miami Trace Chillicothe Volleyball. Then on Wednesday, I'll be Chillicothe Lancaster Girls Soccer. Shane, me, and Mike Throne, my boss, will be at Jerry's Pizza on West. with Paint Valley football.
Bruce knows football I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
As soon as he heard Jerry's, he didn't even care what you were saying next.
Food.
We're not there to talk about football. We're there to eat pizza. You know? And then of course, Thursday, Friday, you know, Paint Valley, Cincinnati Hughes, they travel to Taft High School. And we'll have coverage of Johnstown Chillicothe, Logan Elm Zane Trace, and Vinton County Uniota, and of course, all the other games. But those are our live cover games on Friday night.
All right, Shane, what's on the website this week?
Well, yeah, he did an awesome job of running down, obviously, everything SVC that he mentioned we're going to cover as well. The thing that jumps out at me, the thing we really take a lot of pride in here at the website is there's going to be two SVC matches on the golf course. That'll get us – you know, keep in mind, guys, there's only eight of them. So, you know, in the all-league standings, you know, right there's two of your eight matches this week. So, I mean, you're talking about very pivotal rounds and scores that those kids are going to post. So, obviously looking forward to Wednesday night. So happy that, that Derek and the Gazette's offered me the opportunity to join them as well. Well, and, you know, it is. Fall's a busy time, Derek. I agree. It seems like every night here on the website, there's always something. Like I said, we've even picked up tennis. I certainly didn't want to slight cross country tonight. We talked about the Uniota kind of dynasty, if you will, but what Uniota girls did there to start the year, Zane Trace's ability to run and so forth. So we seem to always get represented well into the postseason there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't thank you enough, Derek. I think we're really going to have a lot of fun throughout the fall.
Agreed.
And Bruce, as always, you're the one that keeps me straight. So I appreciate you coming back on for season six. So I tell you what, guys, we'll look forward to next week. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and everyone behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, and for Derek Webb, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.